Today's scripture, New Testament scripture, is Luke 14, verse 1, and then verses 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down in the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
As I read this text this week, I was reminded of a young couple for whom I had the pleasure of performing their wedding ceremony. They were a pretty low-stress couple, thanks be to God. Yet during one of our counseling sessions, a little bit of the stress of planning a wedding began to show. The session was going well until I asked if all the details of the wedding were falling into place. Innocent enough question, it was our last counseling session, so the details should be almost complete. The groom said, "Oh yeah, everything is great." And the bride said, "Oh yeah, everything's great unless you want to talk about place cards." My first thought was, "No thank you, I really don't want to talk about place cards." Before I could say that though, the groom said, "Well, I think your mother was right about that." I, at that point, had to offer my 2 cents, and I looked at the groom and I said, "That was so the wrong answer." It appears that the argument between bride and mother, which grew into groom's parents being involved, and the groom siding with the bride's mother, now most of y'all understand that's really not good, right? Had to do with place cards, the seating arrangement at the reception after the ceremony. The bride believed people should be assigned a particular seat at a particular table so everyone will have a place and feel welcomed. The rest of the family thought there should be reserved tables for the bride and groom and their family members. The rest of the tables are open for people to sit where they want and with whom they want. Both really good ideas, but the groom did side with the bride's mother. And we have to admit, to where to sit at a wedding reception is usually an awkward situation. If there aren't any name cards at the tables, then should we sit at the closest table or should we leave that for other members of the family? Do we start a new table or do we join a table that looks like everybody already knows each other? If we sit and that leaves only one chair still open at a table, should we move when the couple who is best friends with another couple at the table shows up? Do you see the problems? If the wedding banquet is for someone that we know well, then we're very comfortable in choosing where we sit and with whom we sit. If the gathering includes people we've never seen before, then where to sit becomes a real issue, and a place card could be our best friend. This is true of many gatherings where a meal is going to be shared. We are not always sure of our place at the table, or even should we be at the table. On one occasion, Jesus ate at the house of the leader of the Pharisees. Jesus noticed that the guests were choosing the best seats at the table, as we heard. He offers them another approach to sitting together at the table. When we go to a wedding banquet or any other such gathering, don't sit down at the place of honor. Don't take the best seat. The host may have invited someone more distinguished, more important, some more worthy of the best seat. So when we arrive, we should take the lowest place, the worst seat in the room, the seat where we can't even see the wedding couple, the seat that has that huge pillar blocking our view of anything else in the room, the seat that's right by the kitchen. You know, the noise is so loud we can't hear anything anyone is saying. Sit there. The host may come to us then and invite us to move to a better table, which is a whole lot better than being asked to move from the best seat to the worst seat in the room. Sounds good. Wonderful advice, Jesus. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He turns to the one who invited him to the banquet and says, you know, when you give a dinner or luncheon, don't invite people you know. Don't invite your friends, relatives, or rich neighbors. Don't invite anyone you know that can repay your kindness. Don't invite anybody that can repay your invitation. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Can you imagine sitting at a beautiful wedding banquet with incredible food? Everybody looks great. All the pretty people are there. The mood is festive. Everyone who is someone is there. Then Jesus begins to share his insights on seating etiquette and rules for inviting people to your party. And if only the story ended there, everyone would have just thought Jesus had some strange ideas about social etiquette. Some may have even found the idea of sitting in the worst seat so that we can be honored when asked to move to the best seat a very crafty and cunning way of getting recognized. I'm pretty sure that the person who is hosting the party, though, can't be real pleased that the A list of people he's invited can no longer be on the guest list. Can't you just hear the lull, a major lull in the conversation? Silence, except for one person who says, blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. All of the guests say amen, and Jesus blesses the food, and the wedding banquet was a rousing success, except for a brief, awkward moment when Jesus offered etiquette tips. That is what should have happened, except that Jesus wants us to hear just a little bit more about who is invited to the table. Jesus wants us to hear just a little bit more about who should be invited to the table. Jesus responds by saying, a person decides to have a great dinner and invited many people. At the time of the dinner, the servants were set to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. Everyone on the invited list, though, had reasons that they cannot come. The first person says, I just bought a piece of land, and I really need to go see it. I mean, there's papers to sign. I've got to walk the property lines. Please accept my regrets. The second person says, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to try them out. I've got to make sure where I'm going to put them. They've got to have feed. I need to make sure the land is big enough for them. I mean, they're oxen, after all. Please accept my regrets. Another person says, I just got married, and I really messed up when I sided with the bride's mother. I can't come to dinner. The servants go back and report that no one is coming to the great dinner. The owner of the house gets angry and tells the servants, go out at once into the streets and lanes and back alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The servants go and return and say, we did what you said, and yet there is still room at the table. The owner of the house says, go out into the roads and highways and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. Sometimes we have other priorities, other activities, other obligations, other situations in life that demand our attention. Sometimes we just don't have time to accept the dinner invitation. Jesus says, now the table will be filled with the unclean, the outcast, and until the house is completely filled, until the table can hold no more, the servants will bring in the stranger, the alien, the other. If we listen to Jesus, then at the next banquet we attend, the seating arrangement around the table will be just a little different. No need for a couple to argue over the use or lack of use of place cards. We will be sitting next to people who have nothing. For if we want to join the banquet, if we want to gather at the table, if we want the presence of God and Jesus Christ, then we gather with the outcast. Jesus doesn't say take the leftovers to the poor, the outcast, the other. Jesus doesn't even say send money so that others may eat. Jesus invites us to come and be a part of a new seating arrangement. Jesus invites us to come and sit with the poor and the outcast and to share a meal at the table. God's kingdom is like a great dinner where those outside the community, the unclean, the poor, the outcast, where they have the seats of honor. It may not feel like it, but this really is good news. For if Jesus speaks of a dinner that has a table large enough for all the outcasts of the world, then maybe, just maybe, there will be a seat for us too. It may be the seat that is the huge pillar in front of it, or the seat that is right next to the noise in the kitchen. And there may or may not be place cards with our names on them. But oh my, if we go, will we realize the grace that fills that table? Amen.